We'll start this evening, and I misplaced my prayer request list, which is not unusual for me for some reason. Do continue to remember Brother Charlie and Sister Donna Faye. Both said they're doing good this evening. We praise the Lord for that. Remember Brother Daniel in your prayers. Barbara Taylor, Evan, Sister Tanya, Sister Rose, Caden, Brother Bill and Sister Joanne, Sister Virginia and Laura, Pedro Castro, Lonnie London, Bill McAfee, Larry Crawford, and Patty Taylor, Ann Grimes, Darren and Jason, Brother George Lynn, Antonio Castillo, also Sister Frankie and Sister Mary Jane, Sister Faye, Sister Tawana, Brother Junior and Sister Ruby. To continue to lift all of those up in your prayers. And then, like I said, I had some on, I'd written down Serena. Continue to remember her in your prayers. And I know that I did miss some, so I apologize for that this evening. But do ask that you just remember all of those in your prayers tonight. And then we'll get right into prayer and then into some study this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Dear God, ask you tonight, help us, Lord, to do thy will, to praise and worship and honor and glorify thy name. Father, we pray tonight that you'd forgive us of our sins and failures and draw us close to thee. Father, touch each heart and each life, each home. Lord, we ask you tonight that you would just be with those that are sick and afflicted, dear God. Be with those that are troubled in spirit and soul. Dear God, we pray, Father, for those that are lost. And Lord, those that are backslidden and cold and indifferent. Ask you, Father, tonight just to anoint and touch those lives. And Father, we pray for our country, our government, our leaders, dear God. We pray, Father, they would seek you, Lord, tonight. And we just ask you, dear Lord, now, Father, just have your way in our hearts tonight and help us, Lord, to go through thy word and let your will be done in our lives. We'll praise you, Father. We'll thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. Apologize tonight. I got home, a little late. And in so doing, did not get a chance to shower and shave, so I got a little scruff here going, but wanted to go over and start reading again tonight. We're doing the study on the things that are found in the scripture, how many times that they're found, what they mean. As far as you know, when you start off, and I started off last week with the 3:1 and was using 1 John 5:7 and stuff, because it all started when I looked at the verse of scripture in Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And like I said, that's three I am in one verse in the Bible. These three are capitalized, and this is the only verse in the scripture that has I am in the description as God is saying, I am that I am, that I am. And so that's the only place that is found, just like the only place in the Bible, John 5:7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That is the only place in Scripture where that is found. And so as we look at that and we think about those things there, we had looked at I'm the Good Shepherd, and how that's found in two verses in John 10, Jesus describing himself, that he is the Good Shepherd, because he's the only Good Shepherd. Again, we went over I'm the first and I'm the last. There's no beginning and there's no ending to God. And if you stop, and we've used this scripture and thought about a lot, but in Genesis, where he says, let us make man in our image. And so when you think about it, Jesus was always present there In the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll go unto the Father and I'll send you another comforter, talking about the Holy Ghost. And so always present in heaven, but yet always one. And so these verses of Scripture, that was the key thought in the principal thought to this, that these Scriptures describe God and they describe Christ. And in this description of God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost, or God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you know, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In these descriptions, everything else is a false God. Everything else is a fake God. They're gods that have to be moved. You know, they can't speak, they can't hear, they can't see, they can't walk. There's nothing that they can do. If you just stop and think about the folks who have these false idols in their homes, what do they do with those? Okay, there's nothing that they can do with them, but watch them or move them. Isn't an amazing thing to think about this? You never have to dust off God, right? As far as God, the Father, you never have to dust off God, the Son, and you never have to dust off God, the Holy Ghost. You don't have to dust these things, these folks off, because they're present, they're living, they're moving, and therefore they're not dust collectors. Every other false god, excuse me, every other god that in their false gods, you have to dust them, you have to maintain them, you have to clean them, you have to bathe them, you have to do all these things in order to make them presentable at any given moment of time or whatever, and so you have to move them and so forth. But that's not the way that a real God is. And so that's the God that we serve, the real God. I don't remember how far just exactly, and I apologize for that. I'm kind of confused tonight in this. I've covered some stuff, and then I was thinking about other things, and I have scriptures marked out for Sunday, and I didn't use all of those, I don't believe. But anyways, just run back through some of those. John chapter 8, verse 12 said, Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now think about this for just a second tonight. If I went over this part of it last week, I apologize. But he's the light, and there's only one light that is light in that regards, and that is Jesus. So when we think about he is the light of the world, in John chapter 8, verse 12, it makes me think about who we are in him, so in what we do. So if you flip over to John or to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, I use this a lot in Scripture. It says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If Jesus Christ is the light of the world and we are followers of Christ, then we're a reflection of his light. And that's why it says, let your light so shine. Let us be a reflection of him. Let folks see Jesus in this. so when you stop to think about that. And then think about this. Jesus came into the world not to save, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if you go over to John chapter 3, and again, if I'd covered these verses, I apologize, but there's more to kind of throw with them. John chapter 3 says this in verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because they hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that what? That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. When we stop to think about this, you know, what is done in darkness is not necessarily seen as far as the world is concerned, even though God does, but what is done in light is seeable. I was thinking about something that happened to me a few weeks back, and I was at work, and I was walking back to my truck, and I had my head down. I wasn't looking where I was going as far as looking what was in front of me, and I'd already walked past a sign and went around and done something, and then I was coming back, and as I was walking back, I had my head down, not looking at it, and I hit that sign right across my head, right above my forehead area there and my hairline, and I hit it so hard, it literally knocked me out, as so to say. I saw nothing but black and had to get up off the ground. And when I, you know, got to thinking about it, I can't remember. I was asked, well, did anybody see you? And I'm thinking to myself, there are people driving down this busy road. There's no telling how many folks saw me do that. Because it was in the daytime. It was in the light. It was something that people probably saw. Some may have wondered if I was hurt, and some probably had a good laugh out of it. It doesn't, you never know how they think about that. But it was done in the light. Had it been at night, nobody may have ever noticed that it had happened. So when we think about this, Jesus is the light of the world. And when he says that, he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's what I want in my life, the light of life. I want to be able to see clearly what I'm doing, where I'm going. And I can do that through Jesus Christ. Folks, walking in darkness, and if you've been saved, you know what it is to be born again in Christ Jesus, to be free from your sin, and realize this, that even though we live in this old fleshly body, even though this body has a sin nature, once you get Jesus in your life, you fight against that sin. You battle because you don't want to go down the road of sinfulness. You don't want to be displeasing to God. You want to walk in the light. You want to walk in the truth. And that's what he said here, that he is the light. And as long as we walk in him, we're not going to have to worry about walking in darkness, and not, but that we shall have the light of life. He is the light of life. He never goes out. And you think about this, the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening because of the spinning of the earth, the way that these work. So when the sun is going down, the moon's coming up. But then there's a time when the sun and the moon are in correlation to where one is, or they're together to where they're both absent, so to say, at a time. You don't see either one. And that never happens with God. He's always present. He's always there. Jesus is always present. He's always there. The Bible says he's at the right hand of God making intercession for you and I. If you read that, that is a state of being. It's a constant. It's a consistent. It's a present form of speech saying that this is what's happening right now. He's always there. And so even when the lights go out here, he's present. We can see Jesus. In John chapter 9, verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now think about this for just a second. There was coming a time, Jesus told his disciples, he said, walk while ye have the light, for the time cometh when there shall be no light. There's an absence in that. But for you and I tonight, I'm so thankful that he is the light. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. We celebrated our communion and foot washing service Sunday evening. excuse me. We did communion and foot washing, and we always read the scriptures in John chapter 13, talking about the foot washing, having supper and had it in it, and he had put on the towel and girded himself, and when he did that, he washed their feet and tended to their. I don't know how I say tended to their need. He illustrated to them his love and his desire of washing them and cleansing them. When he came to Peter said, Lord, thou washest my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash you, and I'm putting my words real quick. If I don't bathe you, if I don't wash your feet, if I don't wash you, then you've got no part with me. You know, he's the living bread there. But anyways, to get to the living bread, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking to them about the Lord's Supper, and he says this, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so when he says he's the bread that came down from heaven, he illustrated to us that in him is life. When you think about being the living bread, the life that is there, he's the living water. The woman at the well, he said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst. But if you drink of the water that I'm telling you of, you'll never thirst again. And then this is one of the ones that I was going to get. And I know that I skipped over this because of how many different times it's found in Scripture. But I am the Lord. I know I read some of these the other evening. when we stopped to think about this, I read some different ones here, but here's this one in Exodus 15:26, and he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, I will give ear to his commandment, and will give ear to his commandments, and will keep his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon Egypt, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I love that fact. He is the Lord that healeth thee. And he said, I am. And remember that. I am the Lord. he's the only one that healeth us. He's the only one that does these things. One of my favorite scriptures, and of course I say one of my favorite scriptures. I've got so many favorite scriptures. I guess the Bible's just full of scriptures and I love them. But one of the favorite passages that I love to go to when I think about healing is Isaiah 53. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Think about that for just a moment. When he is the Lord that healeth us, You can sit there and you can look at all the plagues and everything that Israel went through and what they struggled with. But when I think about healing, I think about healing of my sins, because he's the Lord that healeth me. I was dead in trespasses and sin. He took care of those things. He quickened me. He brought me back to life. But not just that. In my life, you know, I can guarantee you that there are more than one time that God has touched our lives in ways that we just don't even know about. Ways we can't imagine that God has just been there and done these things. Exodus 20 and verse 2, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Now think about this for just a second. He said, "I am the Lord thy God." Who brings us out of slavery? Who brings us out of bondage? Who brought us out of our sins? That would be him. The Lord did. We'll always say, "I praise God for all he's done for me. I praise the Lord for what he's done in my life." You know, when we stop to think about it, we intertwine God, Lord, Jesus, all of these in one aspect, and that we're always acknowledging the same. And he is. So when I think about, "I am the Lord which brought thee," he's the Lord who redeemed me. We read it Sunday. The Bible says that he said, "I have the power." Jesus said, "I have the power to lay it down," talking of his life. "I have the power to take it again," talking about his life. in that he was going to die on Calvary's cross. He was going to rise again. He said, "This commandment have I received of my Father." He is the Lord. We say he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? He's the Prince of Peace. We read the scripture in Isaiah. He's the Almighty God. There's just nobody like God. There's nobody like him anywhere, at any place, at any time. There's just none. Leviticus 11:44. He said, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." In the New Testament, we find the same thing. "Be ye holy, for I am holy," talking to the Lord. And this is the deal. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to serve him. Go back to the thought. He's the bread of life, so he gives us the strength to do it. He's the light of life. He's the light of the world, so he gives us he shines so that we can clearly see. John, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's no other person who can say that they are the way, the truth, and the life. When we look in the scriptures, there's just none like him. And that's the whole purpose of all of this. Study is to just point out over and over again, there is just none like him. There's nobody like him. God is God. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. They're all three different, and yet they're all three one. And somebody says, "Explain it to me." That's the only way I know to explain it to you. Well, then how do you believe it? I believe it by faith, absolutely. But there's just nobody else. And why is the world turning to other people? Why is the world turning to other things? Why does the world seem to think that there's another avenue, there's a way around God, or there's a better way of going? Why do people teach that there are many roads to heaven? There's not. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one true God to serve. There's only one true God to love. There's only one good true God to honor, to magnify. Think about what Jesus said. "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one," and that's God. And I just can't emphasize that enough. In John chapter 11, we read of the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. His sisters had sent for him. Jesus has come, and the argument is, "Had you been here, Lord, our brother would not have died." And Jesus says, "Well, I'm here. I don't want to take words, but anyways, that's the fact that he was there." And so in verse 23, it says this, it says, "Then Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am." Now look at that very carefully. "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he asks the question, "Believest thou this?" And I'm going to tell you tonight, yes, I do. I absolutely believe that. But think about it this way. When this old body goes to sleep in the grave, it's going back to where it came from. But my soul will return to the Father. It will go back to God to be judged. I'll either go to heaven or I'll go to hell. There's no in between. There's no waiting. There's no prolonging. It's one way or the other. Again, I use the scripture all the time in Luke with Lazarus and the rich man. The Bible says Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and in hell lifted his eyes, being in torments. There was no waiting, it was just there. And so if you believe in him, You're going to live and you'll live for eternity. And when I say believe in him, I'm not saying believe that there is. The Bible says, thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. Even the devils do believe and tremble. I'm talking about being born again, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, allowing him to change you, to mold you, to move you, to make you something you never thought you could be, and matter of fact, something you never could be without him. But Mary and Martha, Lord, if you'd have been here, he said, I am the resurrection. How are we going to be resurrected? It's because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know if I can find it right off the top of my head, but there was something amazing happened in the book of Matthew. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, and I tell you what, I so thank God for what he did and how he changed our lives and brought us from where we are to, or from where we were to where we are today. And you know, I understand and I'm not perfect. I live in this old fleshly body, and that's just the way that it is until I leave this walk of life. But I'm looking forward to the resurrection. We don't think about the scripture and we don't read it very much. Excuse me. But let me see here if I can find this. When Jesus died, right here. So Matthew chapter 27 verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now just stop and think about this for just a second. We were in John chapter 11. Jesus says to Mary, to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We know the rest of that story. Jesus goes there. He tells them to roll the stone back. The stone is rolled back. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did. I've said it. I believe it. And I know other folks who believe the same. Had Jesus said, come forth, every grave would have opened up. Every body would have come out. But that's why he called Lazarus by name. But when we look at this passage here, he's talked about, remember, he said, I am the resurrection and life. Well, when the veil in the, when he died and gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was rent from twain to top to bottom, the earthquake and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many of the body of the saints which slept and came out, arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. He's the resurrection. He started it. This is what we're looking forward to. This is what we're wanting. The difference between there and now is the Bible says that the next time that he comes back, he's coming back on the clouds of glory. When he comes back on the clouds of glory, then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We call it the rapture of the church. Rapture is found nowhere in the scripture, but we call it the rapture because that's when we are going to be caught up out of this walk of life and go be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Again, these are things that I so like because of what he has done. Then this one here, he's the root, right? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, not here, but in the Old Testament, God promised that there shall not be failed to be a seed of David ruler. to sit upon the throne. And we know that if you go back and you trace the lineage of Christ in the human side of it, you'll find that David is there. You'll also find that in this that, you know, he said that of the root of Jesse, David's the root of Jesse. He's one offspring of Jesse. And like I said, we go back through here and we find this. But in Revelations 22:16 it says, "And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Now I'm going to say something right here real quick, and I'm going to change real quick and after that. But he says he is the one, right? He is the root and the offspring of David. He's the one whom God was promising. It wasn't Solomon. It wasn't any of the others. It was Jesus. You had to go down, so to say, the bloodline and get there. And so when we get to that point, he is the root. He's the promise. He's the one. If you go backwards from David and you go to Abraham, God promised Abraham, right, that he would have a promised child. That promised child was not Ishmael. It was Isaac. And we know that we're not of the bondwoman, but we are of the free. Sarah was free. Hagar was bond. we have the contraries, the two. Isaac was of the free. Isaac's the free. Isaac's the promised. He's the promised. Ishmael wasn't. And then the other thing is this, and this is one of the things where whenever I talk about why I believe the King James Bible, so it's because of this type of stuff. Jesus said that he is the offspring of David, which means one, the bright and morning star. He's the bright and morning star. You find that in the King James Bible. In the other translated verb, opinionated, whatever you want to call them, it says in Isaiah chapter 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning," in the King James. In the others it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star." But Jesus is the morning star. I mean, he is, right? There's only one bright and morning star, and that is Jesus. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." I thought about this because we sing that song. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. What is he? He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. If you just stop to think about it, who is he? He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is everything you and I need in our lives. And it is so wonderful to see that he is. If you go over this when you think about numbers again, like I said, one is declaring the singleness of it. Who's God? God is one. But here, "I am the Son" is found, excuse me, five times in Scripture, which is, you can say that it doesn't always represent God in that each time that it's said, but an amazing thing is, when the Son came, five being the number of grace, isn't it amazing that "I am the Son" is only found five times in Scripture? But in Matthew 27:43, "He trusted in God, let him deliver him." And this is when they're on the cross. If he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." Jesus is the Son of God. They were mocking him, saying, "Well, he said, 'I am.'" No, he is. When he says, "I am the Son of God," that's exactly what he meant. John 10:36, "Say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent in the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, 'I am the Son of God.'" They were accusing Christ of committing blasphemy. Why? Because they understand the lineage and the heritage of things. And so he says that he's the son of God. That meant that he came from God. And so they wanted to kill him for that. Well, you know, I guess you could say that's why they killed him. But on the same hand, he died for us, right? No man taketh it from me. I lay it down, was what Jesus said about his life. In John 15 and 1, I am the true vine. I am. Now think about that. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. There's no other way. There's no other place to be born. There's no other Savior. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way of being born again. There's no other way of new life. There's no other way of being quickened from your sins. And so he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So apart from Jesus, we're in trouble, right? He's the true vine. He is the solitary. He's the one. And I just read John 5:15:5. I am the vine. This is the only places in Scripture this is found. In John 5:1, I am the true vine. In John 15:1, I am the true vine. In John 15:5, I am the vine. There's no other place. No other place. I've already touched on this one here. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only place in Scripture where it's found, I am the way. Now think about it. If there was another way, if there was another person, he couldn't have said, I am the way. You know, it'd be, there are ways. They're not. They're not. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I actually, that is the last one that I had. I thought I had another one. But anyways, with all that said tonight, I just want to say that, you know, I hope that these scriptures really just reveal to you that there is only one God. There's only one Lord. And there's only one Spirit, Holy Spirit. And these three, although are one, are separate, working different functions, but there's only one. There's no other way for you and I to go to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. No other God to trust in outside of God the Father, who sits on the throne. And there's no other voice to listen to than that of the Holy Ghost. And aren't you glad tonight that Jesus listened to the voice of God and sent us, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to help us to listen to His voice as well. I'll go back and say this. I've been praying about some stuff, things that I thought, you know, I wanted to buy, and God said no. A job that I thought about taking, and right now, I say right now, I'm saying God has said no. And if you listen to the voice of God, you'll never go wrong. And I'll tell you something else. I honestly think this. Sometimes we want something so bad that we think that we're hearing the wrong voice. But the truth of the matter is, I believe when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we follow the Word, when we hear the voice of God, when we hear the Spirit speak, you know, that still small voice, or even thundering, depending on how God wants to talk to you, for what purpose, you'll never say, are you sure, God, that you... we may ask, Lord, are you sure I can't? But we'll never say, are you sure that you... Listen to me. God always directs you in the right way. The devil will always pull you away from God. Listen to the voice of God. Follow Him. He's the only way. He's the only true voice. He's the only will. And it's like I said, make up your mind. There has to be one, right? And I trust the God of this here Bible. Trust the God of my King James Bible. I believe it's right. And you cannot search what I've searched and find what I have found in other versions, because they've rewrote stuff. That's why it's so significant when you find these things written these ways with the numbers in which they're written, how awesome that it is. I know that I was looking at something the other evening, and I was going to share it with you just as a thought before I closed. And the number four Gospels, amazing thing, have life, is only found four times in Scripture. Every time, it is referring to Jesus Christ. And remember, He's the Word, right? The Word. The Word is what? Gospel. Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know the Bible is entire, is the Word of God, and we should never discredit any part of it. But I thought that was pretty interesting, that have life is only found four times in Scripture. All four times, matter of fact, an amazing thing here, all four times found in the book of John. So they're found in one of the four Gospels. He says, For as the Father hath life in himself, so have I given to the Son to have life in himself, talking of him. And I will not come, and you will not come to me, that you might have life. We have it through him, right? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I use these scriptures Sunday. That was John. So first one, John 5:26. The second one, John 5:40. The third one is John 10:10. And then the fourth time is John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Four different times it tells us he is life. If you want to have eternal life, you want to have life that matters in this life, walk with Jesus. Father, tonight, Lord, we again thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, and your grace. And we just ask you, dear God, help us, Lord, to do thy will, to praise, worship, and honor, and glorify thy name. Keep us safe and in thine hands. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you for the truth of it, the power of it, the blessing of it. And dear God, thank you so much for being better to me than I've ever been to you. We give you glory tonight, Father, in the precious holy name of Christ Jesus, thanking you for these things, and amen. God bless you. Hope to see you again, Lord willing, on Sunday, or at the next appointed time.